Beloved Father, to Abby, to Juan Ricky, to Mike, to Juan Susu, to Robert, and to Rebecca and her husband Jay. Devoted grandfather to Jacob, Penny, Max, Adrian, Jack, Adam, Mark, and Aaron. Jack was the older of two children born to Albert and Becky Moshkatel. Jack was born March 31st, 1928. This year, in just a few weeks, would have been Jack's 90th birthday, a day which we were all looking forward to be celebrating. And welcome to me. Jack learned from his parents, by watching them, the value of a hard day's work, as they worked the fruit stand at Pike Place Market. But perhaps most importantly to him, he learned the ability to meet new people and start conversations. Jack was the first grandson born on the Moshkatel and Mohan family, and he enjoyed his childhood, which for the time, he enjoyed some special treats as a special result of his Papa Mohan. He had his own bicycle and his own radio, something none of his friends had at the time. He was a fair-headed boy, and they all doted on him. Jack was a good student at Garfield High School, and he enjoyed being a Yale fan. All of his friends were from the Sephardic community in the old Central District. After school, he would bus to the Talmud Torah School, as he was old enough to get out of it for time well spent. He still tells me to this day, don't make me go to morning minyan. He had a very traditional religious Sephardic background that focused around Shabbat and the holidays with large family meals. This is something that Jack truly valued and something he kept doing for his whole life. Family gatherings was something that was truly meaningful to him. To be surrounded by his loved ones, whether as a small grandchild or a papu himself, it was always something he enjoyed. And that is the word for Jack. Enjoyment. He truly enjoyed life. He was an outgoing social character who loved meeting new people and learning all about them. He loved sharing stories and making his own adventures. And while it's true that at funerals, and especially the eulogies which we say, are meant to be sad, it is impossible not to be carried away by the joy and enthusiasm that Jack lived his life. After his time at Garfield High School, Jack joined the Merchant Marines, but once again found himself enjoying life traveling to many different parts of the world. He later joined the U.S. Army, where he was stationed in Washington, D.C. He ended up requiring surgery for a hernia. So while his unit was shipped out to Korea, Jack found himself guarding our country by serving as a lifeguard for the officer's swimming pool. He also wanted them to know he also served as a clerk from time to time too. But that's such a classic Jack memory that he managed it in times of service and work. He's enjoying the larger side of things to make the memories count. Jack met his wife Franny through her dad winning a television set at a wrestling match. Another great story here. All the neighborhood's kids would come on over, because back then, this was the only television set in the whole community. Jack and Franny fell in love and were married on November 23rd, 1952. They were married for over 60 years, and while it was Fran who was the anchor and rock of the family, it was Jack who was the free-spirited one with the four children, Albie, Mike, Robert, and Rebecca. Jack worked a variety of jobs. Probably his favorite job was driving taxis. As I said, he loved meeting new people and driving in the city and learning all the neighborhoods and streets. It really appealed to him as a people person. More than hard work, Jack valued meeting a new face and hearing and then retelling a good story. Jack would love to know everyone's story. He had one of those memories that you remembered everything about you. your phone number, your address, your story. He had one of those brains. He loved the mental map to visualize all the streets of Seattle in his head. And Jack's major business until 1969, till his retirement at the end of December 2015, was in the lawn care business. He first worked as a partner with Barney Mann. That it was a franchise business at first, but then they went down on their own. And then Mike, you joined the business in 1977, and together you developed it and evolved it into the major commercial landscaping company. So why am I telling you this? His greatest accomplishments were not in his material professional success. He considered you, his family, his crowning glory and achievement. He loved his Sephardic life, his parents, his grandparents, his wife, his children, and his grandchildren. They were his glory, his true joy. His extended family in Israel meant a great deal to him, and he made special efforts to keep in touch and to help support them. But I look around, and I'm pointing here to the immediate family. But just look around the room. Look how many people are standing. Jack was a family member to each and every one of us, a true friend. Jack never stressed the small stuff. He was far too busy being that people person there for anyone at any time, any place. This positive trait rubbed off on his children, and they made their home open to everyone, to all their friends in the neighborhood. Jack was the cool dad, warm and welcoming. He would drop everything for his children to make sure they were taken care of. Albie was reminiscing yesterday that he just moved down to California, and he got himself, for the first couple of weeks, he got himself in a car accident, and his parents immediately flew down. The first time his mom had ever flown down, they flew down to take care of him, and then when Albie needed a new car, what did Jack do? He drove the car all the way down from Seattle just to help out. Jack leaves a legacy of a life well-lived and well-loved. He was much admired and respected by his friends, deeply loved and treasured by his family. I will miss my chats with Jack, and I will miss a good man, a true Isha Bueno. In our rabbinic tradition, there is a Mishnah which says there are three crowns. There's the crown of the Torah, there's the crown of priesthood, and there's the crown of malchus, of kingship. But the Mishnah tells us there is another crown which is even greater than those three. And it's the crown of the Keter Shem Tov, the crown of a good name. There isn't anyone who has a bad word to say about Mr. Mashiach. Who can say that? Who can have a moment where, when we think back on Jack, everyone has a happy memory, a funny story, Jack being larger than life and living it? That is someone who has that crown of a good name. And that good name and that legacy he has passed on to his children and grandchildren. The Hennish Mato Sirura, the Sohri Mechaneda, and Men Kedi Yoratom.
Many mothers and daughters, my mom and I grew up with a bit of a freedom talking about that. thing that my mom and I did not shop for, and that was shoes. My dad was a shoe salesman, and he was very serious about making sure we had the properly fitted shoes. And we would spend our days going shopping as usual. And he bought me the perfect pair of shoes, and I always had to have matching perfect. And at that time, it was a big deal. My mom and dad didn't have a lot of extra money, but that was our special thing. My dad always wanted us kids to have what all of our peers had, so that we did. And my parents would often give us out so that we had the latest fashion. Converse, Bobby jeans, and a woolen jacket. We could get some super style. And when I turned 16, my dad got me my first car. Rated landscape color from 1970s Toyota Corolla with really fast paint job. It was new, it wasn't beautiful, but I loved that car so much for all the independence that it gave me. We kids always worked hard from the time we were 16, and our parents taught us that if we wanted something, we had to work for it. So we had to pay for gas and insurance and all the extras, but I had to get my first car. As you might imagine, my dad was very, very protective of me. He didn't want me to go to school dances, and it took my brothers a little time to lighten up and let me start going to the high school dances. At the age when I started dating Jay in college, he was a nice Jewish boy from a great family. And so we had to pass my brother's inspection. You know, my mom and dad really loved him. That was until Jay and I decided to move in together when we got engaged. They didn't want me to put that in there, but they did. It almost caused my mom and dad to get a divorce. My dad was so upset that his daughter was going to be living with him. We've been married almost 35 years this summer, so it worked out okay. And my dad couldn't have loved Jay more, but he did. His own son and his family was useless, and Jay really took good care of my dad. My dad's greatest joy in life was his family. He loved his many grandchildren, but he always had a twinkle in his eye for his very favorite, wonderful granddaughter. And he loved all women. My dad did. He had his way. And he really, really was looking forward to the day when one of them would get married and have great grandchildren, but it wasn't to be. On a side note, I'd like to thank Max and Adrian for the time that they gave to their puppy. They adored him and were always willing to pick him up and take him home. And when we went out, we would always go to Chinese food, his favorite food, for their birthday. They took good care of him. So, my brother Alf used to say, "Please God, keep my mom and his boy at home." This wasn't because we were doing honor or dad or mom in the picture, but it was because he knew that my mom was a strong woman and that she would be okay with my dad now. He knew that my dad would need us more. Well, it didn't work out, and I have to say that in these past 4 years since my mom passed away, it has given me much more time to appreciate my dad for his sake. My dad rarely sees us. As the world became smaller, he was invisible in the TV. His favorite saying, I think it came from Mark Bibb, was, "It happens, move on." But one of my dad's best qualities was that, among the few of us have, he never sweated the small or even the big stuff. He always had the belief that things will work out in the end, and they usually did. And I truly believe that this strength helped him to reach the age of almost 90, mashallah. And he was always engaged with people of all ages and loved chatting up the redwoods with his son. He moved there 2.5 years ago. It was such a gift to him. There was always people around to listen to his stories, how he would go through the classes every day. He especially liked the things they loved in Arab clothes. And he was really sad when he had to not go for building more or another. I used to watch him there, and I'd say he was the mayor of the summit. He was always greeting everybody in the halls as we passed by, and he knew everybody, and I fell in love with him. And lastly, I want to thank my brothers and Jay for all that they did for my dad. I know they think I get old and have people going to be listening, but I don't agree. They were always there for him, checking in every day and making sure he was well taken care of. They all came together to make his life as fulfilled as it could be. Treasured every phone call and outing with his kids and grandkids. My dad was really such a guy. He was wonderful.
city council like that, they're going to be the ultimate people for it. We can treat everybody with their minds. That seems a radiant from the twinkle of your eyes. If they have to behind the wheel, right, through it, the love of Jesus, sitting, leading people, turning a lap and going to our short story. I got to enter an elevator about 4 floors. There was a gala pastor, he knew his name, and he didn't win. Likewise, you ask about their story. He befriended everybody he came in contact with, and that is the trait that I admired him the most. Be it the waitress, the editor, the banker, the CEO, and of course our worker where he practices Spanish. Dad would initiate a conversation and immediately make a new friend. He wasn't always BC. There were many times that we would stand, but everything seemed to love his cool, friendly style, and of course the smile that lit up his entire face. My dad seemed to have been born in the wrong generation. A fellow hustled to make ends meet and work to please a man. My dad's focus was always on the journey, and I believe his laid-back personality allowed him to live a good, long, healthy life to the end, and that's where very thankful. While it's not glamorous, I think my dad took some of his greatest pleasures in life when he owned and drove a cab. Each fare was an opportunity to meet a new person. Each with a fascinating little story, he in turn was able to share his. Driving was his freedom. He got to know the city so well, you could give him an address, and he would tell you where it was located, including the blocks that bounded it, and what side of the street it was on. It was during this time that my dad ran into an old friend, Barney Mann. Barney talked me into joining a lawn care franchise Barney had somehow ended up investing in. After several years, Barney chose to go back to running his tavern. My dad asked me, 21-year-old, not quite yet graduated accounting student, to come in and run a business. Day one, I walked into the office. Dad handed me the keys. He gave me the responsibility and latitude to run the business the way I think fit. Because Dad could not be restrained by four walls. Well, believe me, there was a lot of trial and error, and many mistakes made, but little by little, the door opened. With me in the background, and my dad doing what he was best at, finding new suppliers and new brands, while at the same time negotiating the best prices and helping with sales. I'd be lying if I said it was all roses. Any of you who have worked a family business know there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And yes, even a few thorns along the pleasure of working with someone you know intimately and trust implicitly. I plan on working with him for only a few years, but time went on and we grew his family business. Hard to believe, but we ended up working together for 38 years. Until we retired, my fiancé and I fired him. In December of 2015, when he was 87 years old, and still driving to our remote offices in the 30 miles from work and home, always ending the day with a safe drive around Lake Washington, driving with skill and aggressiveness for the cab to be able to stand. Daily, I took his questions to the bank, the parts store, the lawnmower shop, from our other vendors and from his co-workers, asking how he's doing and making sure I passed on the best wishes. Jack was devoted to his family and always there for us. No matter the time of day or night, he was there to give us a ride or direction so we can enjoy time with our friends. And the Muscatel household became a place for all of our friends to hang out with my folks and especially my dad, taking the time to get to engage the kids with a joke, a jive, you can call me by the nickname. And to this day, my friends can remark about how cool Muscatel was. I think there are many great memories of my dad. As a kid, we'd anxiously await his arrival at the lake after work, and we'd take turns jumping off his shoulders, screaming in delight. He and the Safe family came up with a great idea of putting some planks across three ladders, and our entire family got to watch the hideaway above the tower. He also learned to water ski at some lakes, build high roads, and I got to help him finish our basement bedroom in the new house when we moved to Fulton Street. Later, we traded some landscape work for an old beat-up boat, and he and I had to repair the stringers and floorboards that the previous owner had passed into the dock. And we knew nothing about working with fiberglass, but somehow we were able to piece the boat together, and the entire family got to spend many years water skiing and pleasure boating in that old pier. I must admit, Jack had some skills for doing it. I can also remember my dad teaching us all to drive. With strict instructions to observe the entire scene around you and anticipate what might happen at all times. Any of you having driven with me or my siblings can surely see how my dad's influence has created four wannabe race drivers. Other favorite memories include our family's purchasing a block of tickets from the Seahawks in your town. And we spent over a decade going to games as a family, followed by Sunday dinners at the Bulls house. Of course, my dad became the section captain at the football game, and he presented to all the fans in the season. And more recently, the Muncie town was able to pull out a win in the annual Safari Brotherhood Golf Tournament. But this was a few years ago. My dad wasn't able to hit the ball as far as he once had. He still had unlocked his flair for putting, and he sank a few key putts and even gave us another signal, shimmy and shake, after hit one ball. We're so happy to put Iron Man on the trophy, but it was for him. And he was beaming with delight the entire time. Speaking of the Brotherhood, I would like to thank them for their incredible support and compassion they show us all in the family and great celebrating community. They are true gifts to the community. And I love them so much. I'd also like to thank my brothers, especially Rebecca. Of course, they have favorite shots in the too. And then the wife shared for him after my mom passed. She was there through thick and thin and hundreds of doctor's visits. It was so gratifying the last year, and especially the last 2 weeks, how we worked together to take care of Dad, each doing what we could, but without Rebecca, they can believe it would not have been possible to keep him healthy. I'd like to share one last memory that I just think a bit of my dad. So 3 years ago, there was an exhibit at the Mohai featuring Jewish businesses in Washington, and I thought Dad would find it interesting. So I took him there, and he and I walked through the exhibit, checking out all the photos on the wall and reading the captions, and thought it was really cool. And as we made our way to the exhibit, we came across a film featuring Sephardic merchants in the Pike Lake Market, which was narrated by Jack Money, Cotana, Mickey Thatcher, and Raymond. As we were watching the film, my dad started identifying with people in the slideshow, which included my father and grandfather Webb, who'd been in the market for 40 years. Having grown up in the market, Dad started throwing in interesting tidbits about all the people we were seeing, their personalities and their quirks and traits, and a little cloud started to gather around. And so everybody that was around was really engrossed in Dad's story as the slideshow went on, and there was a family that was near us. Seemed particularly interested. As the show ended, my dad looked up the father and out of nowhere exclaimed, "She looks like a Baroque." And sure enough, the gentleman introduced himself as Leonard Baroque. And I was blown away, and his teenage son just had his jaw dropped to the floor. And of course, my dad had to go and tell him how we were related, how we learned all about the Baroque and family. It was just an amazing experience on which I did. Dad, I consider you. In your car. That's far enough to go on a beautiful sunny Seattle day, shades on, of course, listening to your favorite big band set up with one leg aside, and then climb up your knees all the way to the floor. Taking your favorite ride one last time around, you're all there watching it. You're welcome. Yeah. food building. And then the derivations of these would be like canning, quartz, and honing. The names make for great ingredients for the stories my dad loved to tell. And if any of you who knew him are aware, my dad, when we talk about taxi riding, always cool, sit at the dinner table, dad come home, empty pockets, pockets of change, dollar bills, a couple of fives, maybe 10 or 2. Not a lot of money, but we sit down and the stories to tell. Frank was all the nicknames from all the interesting places, especially for a little kid, that you hear about life, like Magic Inn, Bob's Chili Park, and the Corinne's Room. These all were names that were just happening to me for a little kid. At the cabin, you knew her, you'd get a bottle of liquor, when you move on to the next little sail. You could bring the young man, or sailor, or whatever, just to give her that local occasionally, you know, call mom and say, you know, I'm not going to be home. I've got a fair that's been taking me on some private person with a jackal on, so I can't walk all day. Knows what to run back without all of that. A few bartenders, hustlers, and gamblers, and dentists, they were asking to tell stories about the economy and some of the interests of people and politicians who are in the gas.
Particularly at night, and some of the things I do for tell you how cool he was. My dad had a Honda. But, you know, for you young folks, you know, really impressionable, like, you know, like, you see Honda was cool because it was a weekend culture. And that kind of was very cool. I get a ukulele. I never said you were going to have to do it, but I owned records by Elvis, and Rico, and Elvis, Cheryl, and Fred Sinatra. And, like, all those nicknames you mentioned, and the new names were, you know, the nicknames, Bebop. And support, though, is very supportive. You know, I've always believed that. How do you raise, kind of test your comfort for life? You know, you kind of know what's right and kind of what's wrong with your ways around a certain life. And, you know, when you're young, some of us veer off course and you can experiment, try some different things. But generally speaking, you kind of know what you want is, and Dad definitely had that going on. So while he led that faster and more colorful life when he was young. You know, as he got a little bit older, you know, settled down with my mom was absolutely square and solid and, you know, conservative and wonderful. Again, we all know that rather as a few years ago. But it was just the perfect match for him that really grounded him and allowed him to bring out that side of him that was more conservative. Oh, by the way, I forgot one other thing. We're talking about school, we talked about Mongo's and Mongo's and Mongo's and Mongo's and Mongo's. We talked about supporting. We talked about supporting. And all that stuff. And he bought a Vespa motorcycle. I want you to think about that. We had a little Vespa, that was so kind of a habit of that. The brother said he was deeply connected with this park. He needed to get a sense of the functioning central area and the conditions of the resistance community. Dad was an amateur genealogist, my brother's boy. He used to be in the synagogue, he went towards Washington, and they got to know him so, and he's got a sister that lives in California, she's married to a doctor, and then two brothers, and then a sister, something like that. He lost his dad of memory when Dad passed. Family was everything, of course, and never went anywhere, including the Black Hospital. My only grandchild, I have 8 grandchildren, 7 boys, and my favorite only granddaughter, Adrienne. Yeah, you know, the only two dads had our back in the family. I mentioned, like, 20 years old, moved to California, the first one, and the other, they moved away. And I was there for 3 days, and I was in a horrible down condition on the table race. And the guy was seriously hurt, but but long story short, I got home the next morning and I called home to let them know what happened, that I was okay. And I went about my day actually to work. And the phone rings at work and it's my dad. And he says, can you come pick us up? And we're down here in San Francisco Airport. My mom has never been on an airplane. So we went out together for a few days to go to the city and it was a really great connection. About a month later, I bought a car. But one day in first grade, stadium and the Lions market, which at the time seemed like the NFL would be on like the Super Bowl, and I was like, well, they just didn't have the stadium, and it was cool at the time. It could be my first movie, but I'm going to be worth what this kind of comedy that I was for. It went to the Colorado Theater, and I found a beautiful theater for the NFL to be exactly what the whole play was. During this
incredible.
inevitably ended up with Colonel Bates' house. And to this day, one of the guys who food on our house is a big Jack. He's got a little food on his house. One of us did a conversation with this ranger from one of the men I did with the NFL. Who did I see there? Jack is there. Your Jack if you chat with him. Anybody that's in a car with my dad is this one. You love to honk the horn. If you're a red light, you can sit the car back. That light turns green. Boom! Let's go! Come on, let's go! Honk that horn. Let's go! Speaking of honking horn, my dad likes it. Always up to the house. So, come to the house, go to the driveway, friends, hear the horn. When you see the store, you know, a small store maybe where there's a clerk maybe not right at the countertop there, you start listening. So just this little funny little whistle you have that says, so I know you're there. You know, it's I'm here, you didn't want to hear the money, you didn't want to yell at it, hey, but you can listen. So, you know, it should be seen like that, that you're all here and
following the Sidur Kamin, we will make our way to the Spartan Brothers Cemetery.